Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and it's time for Realty Radio with our friend David Farnborough. We're going to dive into the real estate local industry right now in business and hang out with David for a little bit and get some information. David, how you been?
I've been well. It's wonderful to be back with you, James.
I look forward to this every month. It's a topic that I always appreciate learning more and more about, because it's something that I think for me and a lot of people out there, this segment gives them an opportunity to learn more about this and get in depth in it, regardless if they're buying or selling a home now or in the future. It's good information for us to know economically, and it goes so far on that. And I also think that there's a part of this too that people look at morally, and its industry and how that's handled. And it's something that we've been very fortunate here at WFHR. The businesses we've worked with, the realtors we've worked with, all have this same kind of agreement of how reputation businesses is and treating people fairly. And yeah, it's part of why I appreciate working with you, David. And this is something you take very seriously and that you wanted to focus on. And especially this month in particular, when we're talking about fair housing.
That's right, James. This is Fair Housing Month, and that's something which the realtor organization is very big on. It's something that they promote a lot, and they encourage every realtor to take part in and to promote. It means you have to be careful. It means you have to be conscious of where you might unintentionally be doing something that disadvantages someone because of their protected group or because of their identity.
Right. And that, I think, leads us perfectly into this, David. What is, for those that may not be familiar, what is fair housing? What are we talking about specifically?
Well, the fair housing movement really grew up because of some of the segregation practices of the 1950s and before. Also, there were, you've probably heard of redlining, which was guidelines on who could be lent money to and who couldn't due to neighborhoods. And when you looked at those neighborhoods, the neighborhoods where you couldn't lend money to were predominantly the black neighborhoods. So even though it may not have been, even though the lines weren't drawn with a little note saying this is the black neighborhood, the effect was that it discriminated against people on the basis of color. And people have tried to address that since the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s and going on. Things have been refined somewhat, and also they've been dealt with at several different levels. So we do have some federal laws that outlaw discrimination. I was going to say they prevent discrimination, but they don't, any more than laws against murder stop people from murdering people.
Right.
So we do have the federally protected classes, and these are people who you can't discriminate against in housing, and that includes how I do my job as a realtor. It includes people who are selling houses. It includes people who are buying houses. It includes people who are who have homes to rent. They have to be very careful that they don't discriminate. Now, the federally protected classes under the Fair Housing Act include race, color, national origin, religion, sex, disability, and familial status. Now, that last one is a big surprise to anyone, because, you know, who would discriminate against someone because they have a family or don't? Well, you would be surprised how many people selling homes say, I just want to see it going to a nice family. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all well and good, but then you're discriminating against someone who doesn't have a family, mm-hmm. and that's not right. So those are the federally protected classes. Now, the state of Wisconsin also has some protected classes, which are in addition to the federal classes, and those are ancestry, marital status, lawful source of income. Mm-hmm. For example, someone can be on SSI, mm-hmm. and they can still buy a house if they have sufficient income for their mortgage lender, sexual orientation, and their status as a victim of domestic abuse. Now, that's another one that you wouldn't expect, but it does come up. Now, sexual orientation, you would think that would be covered under the federal protected class, because that's quite a, you know, well-known area of discrimination. And in fact, HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, has actually identified sexual orientation as a protected class. This is their interpretation of sex as a protected class.
Right.
But and also gender identity is also considered to be part of the sex discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Wisconsin protected classes just make it a little bit clearer on sexual orientation. They just say, no, we can't discriminate. So anyone dealing in housing in the state of Wisconsin has to follow those rules. And then we have another layer.
Mm-hmm.
We have the National Association of Realtors, who says, well, we want to make it absolutely clear that we're not going to discriminate against somebody on the grounds of gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what someone identifies as. We're just going to treat them the same as we would anybody else. So I think it shows that there is an effort, both with our legislatures and with our professional body, to try and outlaw discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go even further. So with my brokerage, Rapids Homes, I try and make sure I don't discriminate against anyone, because I'm not going to go down the list of protected classes, and it's a long list, and try and work out which class somebody fits into and how I'm going to not discriminate against them. I'm just not going to discriminate against anyone. So it could be somebody living in poverty or financial hardship. And maybe the attitude I could take would be to say, oh, well, they probably can't afford a house. I'm going to hang up on them and I won't bother calling them back. But I don't do that. Anyone who approaches me who says, I like to buy a house, I say, well, let's look into it. Let's look at the possibilities. You know, maybe you can borrow. Maybe your income is sufficient, or maybe you can save some money up. And then after that, you'll be able to borrow sufficient to make the difference between our down payment and the price of a home.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and be a can-do agent mm-hmm. for everybody. I'm also very conscious of people with different immigration or citizenship statuses mm-hmm. because I am an immigrant myself. Yeah. Only became a citizen 3 years ago, but I was living in Wisconsin Rapids for 13 years before that
mm-hmm.
as a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
So I was both a homeowner and a green card holder at the same time. I also don't want to discriminate against neurodivergent individuals
mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people out here who just think and behave in a different way. And to me, this is something that's all part of our, you know, all part of life's rich pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And I should, again, be doing my best to help those people on their path to home ownership. And there's all sorts of other little bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And my task is to just say no discrimination against anybody.
And David, I can't thank you enough and appreciate you and your fellow realtors out there and in this community that take this so seriously, that are approaching this so much. I've mentioned this before. It's no secret to our audience. This affects me and my family quite a bit. When we moved to this area, we're Chicago Bear fans. And people, no, I'm joking. But in all seriousness, obviously, my family was affected by this. And I've talked about it before on the air. And we are fortunate that we never ran into any discrimination or anything like that, that we were treated very well. Whether it was because of race or creed or being from out of state or income. And there's another part of this to think of there with that part. I don't know if I'm wording this right or if I'm just using this terminology because of the subject matter, but it's a bit of a correcting of the market of what we're doing here with this and what we're trying to do. For centuries, for decades, there were classes of people that were not given the same rules as everybody else. And this actually backfired pretty badly on the people in those cities, in those communities. I'm thinking about Chicago in particular. particular, where they tried to segregate things quite a bit. And all it did was bring down all areas, because a rising tide raises all boats. And to realtors out there, it's just smart business. The idea that you would say, you know what, I'm not going to work with these people. I'm not going to work with these people.
Yes.
I'm only going to sell for these people. You're limiting your market. I go back to the Ben and Jerry's argument all the time. Ben and Jerry's was the biggest ice cream in the world. And even they decided, you know what, there's a whole group of people we're not affecting. Let's go ahead and have vegan ice cream. Let's have non-dairy ice cream. And boom, they're even bigger. That's smart business. The idea of not selling homes or selling homes for people, that seems like the worst type of business model there is.
Well, I think it is, and I don't think that people these days, maybe 50 years ago, but these days I don't think people so much consciously decide not to deal with a certain group of people. Now, I am very proud of my realtor friends and colleagues, because they all make this effort to deal in fair housing and not to discriminate, but we all of us do have unconscious biases that we put into things unknowingly. And I'm no exception. I grew up with a profoundly deaf sister, and we all the time we included her in our conversations and our jokes. And I'm the first person to say, yes, I love disability awareness and inclusion. But I remember not so long ago, I was standing in a store, and I spoke to her. There was a lady in front of me and I couldn't get through, and I said, excuse me, and the lady didn't turn around or move, and I was getting irritated. I said, excuse me, and then she still didn't move, and so I didn't shove her out of the way, but I pushed past in a way I wouldn't do normally. And then I noticed she was wearing hearing aids, and I thought, oh gosh, I really didn't mean to do that. So we have to be aware of the things that operate on our brains subconsciously.
It's a really good point. I think everyone could relate to what you were saying right there. We've all had those moments.
And there are other things as well. Like, you may be perfectly happy to deal with, say, the black family who come into your office and they say, well, we want to buy a house in this city, but are you going to say to them, you'll be much happier in this neighborhood?
Right.
And that's a practice called steering, which is outlawed, and the Wisconsin Realtors Association looks very unfavorably on that. We have to tell people, these are the houses, this is what they cost. This one's nearer to the to the lakes, this one's nearer to the city, and let people make their own decisions. Even if someone says to us, if they have a question like, is this a Christian neighborhood, we can't answer that. Mm-hmm. We just have to say, well, you have to do your own research on that. I can tell you about the house.
This is just smart business, not just for realtors out there and businesses like that, but for communities. In neighborhoods, you want the value of your home to be as good as it can be. Bringing in good people does that. Them taking care of their home does that. It's a domino effect that this has, where the people that we're bringing in, the people that we're talking about here, that giving them an equal playing field, all that does is improve your economy, improve your neighborhood, and these things. It has a very strong, good domino effect. And I think it needs to be said too, with all of this, in case it isn't known, nobody's looking for extra here. We're trying to even things out. We're trying to make this equal for everybody.
I think that's very important, because discriminating in favor of a group who has historically been discriminated against is just as bad.
Yeah.
You want to make things fair for everybody so that nobody is kept out.
Again,
we don't want to exclude anybody.
A real correcting of the market here. A really trying to make this an even playing field for everybody, regardless of any of these other things like David was talking about. And we're speaking with David Farnborough on Realty Radio right now. And David, I know that you briefly wanted to get into the economic forecasts a little bit.
Yes, that's right. And at the time of recording, we're at the beginning of April. We're talking about the economy, and there have been some ups and downs in the stock market, as I'm sure you're aware of. What I did read yesterday was an article by Lawrence Yun. He is the chief economist of the National Association of Realtors. And he was talking about how the current market uncertainty might affect the economy. And his projection, which is actually something I've seen other economists make as well, was that people are more likely to buy into bonds, into government bonds. And he said this in turn is likely to lead to a reduction in interest rates. Now, I read the headline and I thought, oh, that's great. So we're going to be looking at 3% interest rates again. Well, I read the article in detail and he was talking more about interest rates coming down from 6.7% to 6.1%.
No.
So it is a reduction. It'll make a difference to people's payments. But it's not going to have a big impact on the housing market. With interest rates where they are at the moment, people who bought in 2020 and 2021 when interest rates were at 3.5% or thereabouts are saying, I'm not going to move house because then I'm going to be paying nearly double the interest rate. So the differential between the interest rates of that period and where we are now. Oh, and a lot of people refinanced at that time as well. So the differential between those low interest rates and where we are now, or where we would be even if interest rates came down 0.6%, is enough to keep a lot of homeowners where they are unless they really need to move. So this is going to feed into the shortage of properties on the market, which is going to feed into it being a seller's market and there being more buyers out there than homes on the market. So it means really that we're not going to see any big changes. Now, nothing is certain. You really can't predict, even if you have a crystal ball, what's going to happen. But as far as the housing market's concerned, I don't think we're looking at any huge differences if you're looking towards the end of this year.
I think that it's important to be able to touch on these things, especially from somebody in the industry that is up to date on everything, because oftentimes headlines or even just different articles can lead you to worry or think about this or that. Getting the actual facts, getting the actual information is important. And it also feels like this is something that if you were planning on selling your home or buying a home or anything like that this year in particular, that, you know, stay the course. There's no real reason to change that up. It sounds like, David, you can speak to that better than
I can. Well, I think that's right. What I've said about this previously is that really the best time to buy and sell a house is because you have a need that isn't related to finance. So it's when you need that extra bedroom because you're having another child, or whether you're downsizing because you're empty nesters, or whether you're moving into a retirement home. It's really your personal circumstances should depend on when you move, because otherwise you could be waiting a long time if you're waiting for the market to do something.
Well, and not that all that information was fantastic, but I would say almost the headline for us coming out of that is the idea of more inventory. I would say as long as we've been talking real estate on the air here, that has been an issue of having enough inventory. It sounds like this might free up some more. This might make some more houses on the market.
It's possible that it
has
might,
the possibility of doing that.
But I think it's going to be a small amount.
You know, any bit, just like that percentage change that the chief economist was talking about, could have an impact, especially on a rural level, I would imagine, where there's just almost nothing in some areas. And for just even a couple of more houses on the market, seems like it could be a positive. I'm sure that there are plenty of different directions this can go, too, as you mentioned.
You're right. But then, as with all these things, there's a margin of error as well. So it could be that interest rates come down to 5.8% or you know, a little bit lower than that. And obviously, that's what I would like. I don't necessarily want to see them, you know, tumble. But I think it would be nice to see a little bit of an easing mm-hmm. of the lack of inventory. It'll make it easier for my home buyers.
Yeah. You know, David, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate the talking points that you sent to us and everything. Unfortunately, I don't think we got enough time for tools of the trade. What do you say next time we get together, maybe we talk about that?
I would love to talk about that. This is something which I really love. I am an early adopter of technology and I love my gadgets. And as a realtor, I have access to some really cool tech. So that will be next time.
That'll be fun to dive into. We're looking forward to it and looking forward to hanging out again. Just never have enough time with you, David. It's always good being with you. If you wouldn't mind telling the audience how they can reach out to you, find out more information, that'd be great.
Yeah, easiest way to contact me is to text me on 715-323-8594. I accept texts any time of the day or night. Sometimes people will text me at 2 a.m. and I'll respond.
I apologize.
It can be really important because they can text me at 2 with a house they want to see at 9 a.m. and I can have it all arranged by 9 a.m. Telephone calls, obviously, I'm a little bit more limited. So, you know, you can call me same number, you know, from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. That would be fine. And also they can go to www.rapidshomes.com.
And encourage you to bookmark that page. And keep in mind, everybody, these conversations we have once a month with David. If you missed one and you'd like to check one of those out, encourage you to go to civicmedia.us, check out our podcasts, and look for Realty Radio. Every one of these conversations we've been able to have with David have been informative and interesting, especially if you are interested in buying or selling a home. Can't encourage you enough to do your homework. Go back and take a listen to those and spread the word about this segment to everybody. David, appreciate the time. We'll talk again real soon.
It's been good to talk, James. Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.